Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, I need a miracle.
Here's one, Jim. The dead have been resurrected. What was I supposed to say? Are resurrected?
Yeah, but I mean, that's fine. Or
let's do it. Okay, are. I like that better, yeah. Okay. Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, I need a miracle.
Here's one, Jim. The dead are resurrected.
Hey, Patrick.
Hello, Jim.
We are back in the basement.
Yes, we are.
Too hot outside today.
Yeah. It's warm. We're really moving into that Northern Virginia, like, really hot period for the next 30, 45 days. It's going to be pretty miserable outside.
That's right. But I think it's good that we're back here today because we're revisiting a topic we just did last week.
Yes.
We recorded in the same spot.
Yep.
And that was some conversation about Dead and Company, Grateful mm-hmm. Dead. We had Rob Gates
yep.
on, and he talked about having just gone to that show and a little bit about his history with the Grateful Dead.
Mm-hmm.
And you also talked to our friend Justin Gay
yes.
about the same show,
mm-hmm.
but it was a separate recording. Just you guys were just talking, right? We couldn't work it out where we could all get together.
Yeah, that's right. And we wanted to talk to Justin, and he really wanted to get his thoughts down while they were still fresh from the show. So it was a couple days after that show, the same one Rob went to, and I got together with Justin, and he just, you know, laid down some really interesting things about the show, his observations about how John Mayer fits into Dead and Company, how his impressions have changed of seeing them year over year with that same touring band. And Justin, as longtime listeners of the other podcasts will remember, had toured around with the Dead and seen a lot of shows. So he's a veteran and really understands their music, is very passionate about it. And it's a really interesting conversation. So I just kind of, even though, you know, it was just me and Justin, it was just a really fun conversation. I just asked him some questions. So you'll hear him talking about the background, and we kind of weave that all together into a little summary of what his feelings are in the current band.
So you recorded that.
Yep.
You packed up the tapes.
I did.
You brought them over here to my house.
Yes.
We're in the basement. We're going to listen to that. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And should we play the tape now?
Let's do it.
All right.
What makes this incarnation of the Dead and Company so special?
Well, what makes it special is, well, first and foremost, it's a continuation of that whole scene of music and the fun that was the Grateful Dead. The Grateful Dead element of this band is, you know, the three of the founding members of the Grateful Dead, the two drummers, Bill Kreutzmann and Mickey Hart, as well as, you know, one of the other lead men, Bob Weir. So, you know, that gives them, this band, the credibility to do whatever they want with the music, you know, play all, of course, the entire catalog they've been playing. And sort of, you know, as Mickey Hart sort of says in some interview I heard one time, he's like, just keep going out night after night and chasing it. And what he's referring to is like that magic moment in a show, if it happens, where the band is just super tight and, you know, something just comes alive and takes over. So, you know, they achieved that on Thursday night for sure. Now, helping them out is a couple of other guys. These are no strangers to people who know music, especially the new sort of lead guitarist, John Mayer. You know, and when you hear about John Mayer, like, you know, love him or not, from his previous work, it's something I would never have listened to. And, you know, what he's doing with this band, you know, is really, really good. And I'll talk more about him in a second. But the other two guys that round out the band, on bass, we have Oteil Burbidge. He has been around part of the scene for a long time and just is really stellar. Plays a six-string bass just like Phil did. You know, he's got a mohawk, so that sort of doesn't sort of fit in with the normal Dead look. But he works for him. The keyboard player is Jeff Comenti. Now, what's cool about Jeff is he played in the Fare-Thee-Well shows for the 50th anniversary of the Dead, those final Grateful Dead build concerts that they played a couple years ago. But he also has Brent Midland's Hammond organ. And, you know, when Brent Midland joined the band in 1979, you know, all through the 80s before he passed away, you know, that was his sort of signature sound, was that came out of that Hammond organ. And, you know, you see footage from back in the day of Brent playing that thing, and there's a Steal Your Face sticker on the big one on the left side. and a small one on the right. And, you know, those two stickers are still there. And when he plays that Hammond, you really know. It's like, sounds like, you know, has that sound from, you know, Brett's sort of signature sound. So that's the band. And they're fantastic. Last year when I saw him for the first time, you know, I was kind of skeptical. I think a lot of people were still skeptical. And, you know, I was quickly, last year, you know, one or two songs in, I was sold. Especially when I started crying during a song, you know, that, you know, a typical part of a song where Jerry would make me very emotional. You know, John Mayer was able to do that for me. So I was hooked from then on. Another thing that was interesting is the comparison. And, you know, I saw him at the Green, what's that place called? Jiffy Lube Live out in Bristow, Virginia. And the thing that struck me the most was the difference in crowd size. You know, so last year was very, very loose. You know, the pavilion was almost empty. You know, we had pavilion seats and we were bouncing around all over that pavilion. We had pavilion seats this year as well, but all the rows were full. The outside area is just way more jammed. You know, so I think people have gotten to the point where, you know, everybody gets it now, and you know, the fans are on board for the ride.
Why does John Mayer really fit into this band so well?
Because he's an awesome guitar player, first and foremost, and you know, he has taken a passion for this music. You know, I think he heard the story goes that he heard Althea on the radio somewhere, and you know, he liked that song so much he wanted to learn how to play it. So that was his first bug of the Dead, Grateful Dead, and you know, he ran into, you know, another tale is that he was on a talk show, him and Bob, we were both guests on the same talk show, and they ended up hitting it off and having a good time. And that sort of led to what this is now. And the thing that, you know, he's just really, really good. I mean, he can, you know, he's doing Jerry's material. It's all Jerry, right? I mean, he does it exactly just as well, and sometimes better. And for me to say that John Mayer can play guitar better than Jerry Garcia, I mean, take that for what that means. He didn't write that material, right? He's performing that material. He's covering that material. But in a lot of levels, he takes it to the next step. You know, it goes up to 11. You know, it's really, really good. I mean, he spent, you know, you hear some of these interviews that he did with the Golden Road weekly show on SiriusXM's Grateful Dead channel. As you know, he locked himself in his house and he practiced and learned everything he could learn about, you know, the band and how to play the material. I mean, and the way he's describing it is like, I mean, I play guitar, but this guy's describing it like it's science, you know, and it's like, wow, geez, man, that's never really thought of it that way. But yeah, that sounds about right to me. So that shows you the level that he's prepared to go to, you know, get on this material. Can't be a hater on this. That's just, if you liked the music, you know, as much as I did, and much, you know, as much as everybody else does, you know, you hear it, you see it, you're gonna get into it, and that's just it. I mean, like I said, like the crowd size was double from last year. You know, I think it just took that long for everybody to sort of get with it. You know, you see a lot of older fans, you know, people I recognize from the parking lot days in the 80s, and you know, they're just the same but 20, you know, 30 years later. And then there's also a lot of young fans. You know, I think Mayer brings a certain amount of audience as well, just checking it out. And you know, the Dead has always had old fans, original fans. I use air quotes on that, but you know, younger fans as well. I myself started seeing when I was 16, and you know, in 1986, and just went along, got on the bus just like everybody else, and kept going. So it's nice to see these younger guys coming up. And you know what that leads into is that it's the passing of the torch. You know Bob is, you know, Bob Weir unfortunately is going to pass away sometime, and you know, same with Mickey and Billy. And what they're doing is this incarnation is setting it up, you know, to pass the torch on to John Mayer, and you know who, you know, Jeff Comenzi and O'Teal, and just sort of go with it. Like, this is legit, making them legit, the legitimate flag bearers for the, you know, the this brand of music, you know, and this slice of Americana. This will just never go away. It continues on.
Was interesting from Justin, right? I never thought he would embrace he was one of those people, I guess, and we touched on this a little bit with Rob, that originally when I met him, Justin was like, the Dead ended when Jerry died. Mm-hmm. And there was no Dead after that. But now he's really started to embrace, as you could hear, this John Mayer idea and his place fitting in and what he does for that band and how he sort of invigorated three of the original members. So I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, so 20 years later,
I know,
they're
right?
Coming around, right?
Yeah, exactly.
The fans are coming around.
Coming around, yeah.
Okay.
So that was really fun. I think what we'll do probably, Jim, is take a little break here. And then on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Justin talking about his personal experience at the concert. Meant a lot to him.
All right, cool. So, Patrick, I know people love listening to the show.
They get
a lot of great feedback from our listeners, and we so appreciate that. But, you know, if you want something more,
yeah, extra,
than just what you get in the podcast feed, you can visit suburbspod.com.
Yes, you can.
Which is our website.
Yes, it is.
There are some extra little articles that people have written. We have some contributors who you've heard on the show, and they actually write for us, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then another cool thing we have now is some little, you know, bonus audio material, right?
Yeah, we're going to have a little bit of bonus audio material from the conversation we had with Rob Gates that we were referencing earlier about the Dead and Company. He actually did a cool thing where he was sort of going song by song through the set list. So I think if you're a Dead fan, you're really going to find that cool.
I think so, too. Like a Grateful Dead song, it kind of went on for a while.
Yeah.
So we couldn't include it necessarily in the episode proper.
Right.
So we thought it'd be better to make it maybe like a second set.
Yeah,
right?
That's right. Yeah. Once the improvisation started, it just kind of went on and on. But we're going to try to do this kind of thing on Suburbs Pod when we can and just add a little bonus. It's kind of like supersizing your episode, Jim. You get a little more.
So go to suburbspod.com where you can find all of the past shows, some show notes, some articles, and now some bonus audio content.
What more could you want?
Maybe be Rickrolled?
That could happen.
Okay.
So tell us a little bit about the show you saw, Justin.
For me, there was two songs. You know, Althea and Peggio were the two standouts for me, but Peggio especially because it hits me on two layers very personally. One, the hardship I'm going through right now in my relationships with my family. Our captain fell in love with a lady like a dove. And every time I hear that line, it's myself and how I feel about my wife and, you know, some of the stuff we're going through right now. But, so it always makes me cry right there. And then there's the other line is, Sweet William, he is dead. He died for a man. And it's like, that's for me, that's Jerry dying. So it's like the death of my relationship and the death of, my musical hero, Jerry Garcia. And, you know, I'm like sitting there and the song's playing. It's amazing. It's great. Bobby's doing a good job on the vocal. I got tears streaming down my face, you know, tears of happiness and tears of sadness all mixed together. And there's a couple of dudes, a couple rows in front of me, you know, passing a joint around. I'm thinking, man, I wish I had some of that because there was like no security. You could have walked in with a pound of pot in your backpack and nobody would have been the wiser. So anyway, like sort of right as I'm lusting for that joint the most, the guy sort of turns around with a big smile on his face, sees the tears, and just hands me the J. And, you know, of course, I partook in that experience because it only made the rest of my show that much better. It's one of those moments, you know, it's just kind of, it happens in a lot of places, but that's always one of that sort of that Grateful Dead magic, you know, thing that is when you need it, it happens. You know, it's just like when you need it the most, it's when somebody does something, you know, kind for you like that. there's a bunch of people who I ran into, and then like poof, then he was gone. It's like multiple people. Yeah, that's how Justin is. But you know, I would run into some people, and I'd talk for a few minutes, and you know, they'd be looking the other way, and I would just disappear, just because you go where the show takes you. It's sometimes you get tired of staying in one place, and you're like, I got to change the scene, so you go somewhere else. You know, so. You know, for the first song, I'm out in the crowd, out in the, you know, the vending area, and the sound was great. So I'm out there sort of with more space, sort of hanging around, and then went down into the seats, a couple different spots in there. And then, you know, I left those seats and I went back out, and I'm sort of up there, and the music starts again for the second set, and I'm standing on this cement block, you know, with a couple of other people, spinners or whatever, and I'm just dancing, and, you know, and I'm like this, you know, middle-aged white guy wearing a, you know, not wearing a tie-dye because I'm kind of stealth with short hair, right? And I'm, you know, people know, they see that I'm in it, and, you know, I'm getting high fives, people walking by, you know, there's certain people that sort of know where you are and get it. And, you know, I sort of decided yesterday, I was like, next year when they come around for the East Coast, I'm going to go ahead and take 1 or 2 weeks and just catch as many shows as I can. You know, it's like, that speaks volumes for how I feel about John Mayer and this band. As you know, I'm going to go on the road again for the first time in 30 something years, right? It's, last time I went on tour with the Dead was I was 22 or 23 years old.
As we march down to the burial, we march down to the our captain fell in love with a lady like a dove. And he called her by name, pretty Peggy O. Would you marry me, pretty Peggy O? Would you marry me, pretty Peggy O? If you would marry me, boy, is his hour free. Free all the ladies in the area. What I would marry you.
So there we are. I thought that was great. Sort of thing that Justin did to share that with us and all our listeners, right? He had a really cool experience. It was fresh in his mind. He really wanted to get that out there. And music is a powerful thing, and it pulls you through stuff sometimes. So it seems like he's coming out of this show feeling pretty hopeful.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. Always compelling to hear people tell stories about how music impacts them on a personal level.
Yeah, right? And so. Especially a concert experience like that. And I, you know from years of writing about music, it's very important to try to capture that stuff while you're thinking about it. Because even in the next morning, sometimes you're like, there might be a detail that slips away here and there. So that was always a staple of my life, was the post-concert, post-mortem, where you like pulled the whole show and set apart, right? But yeah, it was nice to talk to Justin about that while he had a real, you know, really recent experience.
All right. Well, thanks very much to Justin Gay. Mm-hmm. And we need to get him to come around the house sometime.
We will do that. We're going to get him over here.
Opportunity.
He's close.
Yep.
And if anybody else out there saw the Dead & Company shows, we said when we talked to Rob, please call the Suburban Party Line and give us your take on the show you saw.
Do that. It is 612-440-1984. You can also email us if you prefer to do that. That is rock@suburbspod.com. Mm-hmm. Or you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram @SuburbsPod. Also, as we mentioned before, the website, suburbspod.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check that out. And listen to the show as much as you can.
I would say every day.
Yep. That is on Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, Stitcher, or TuneIn.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's about it.
Cool.
And we have some fun stuff planned for the rest of the week.
Yes, we do.
And you... I don't even want to tease it because it's just, it's too much. It's too eclectic a mix this week. So
it really is.
All right. Thanks for listening to Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we will talk to you tomorrow.
sweet.